Message ended up being a two-part message. I could not do it in one. But God uses a different kind of gold. I'm feeling a little bit hot up here, John. Thank you. The Olympics, Olympic gold is all about what? Who is the best, the fastest, the first, the strongest? It's all about the whoever has achieved that pinnacle of whatever it is that the sport that they're doing. And there's that select few. There's those few Usain Bolts that can just run like it's unbelievable, or Michael Phelps that just fifth Olympics and he's still swimming for gold. I mean, amazing. And there's select few athletes that were inspired to be able to head for that podium and that gold medal. And they worked 4 years of their lives they gave and worked to reach that. But it's just a select few, isn't it? And there's one that gets the gold, right? Paul talked about our faith walk, and he used this kind of a runner's analogy. It really relates to the Olympics. And Paul said, everyone who competes in the games, so they had their games back there in their Olympics, goes into strict training, right? It's that 4 years nowadays. They do it to get a crown. Back then it was the olive leaf crown. And that's why he says they're doing it to get a crown that won't last. Because you know what happens to those olive leaf crowns? It dries up, dies. Paul said, we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Forever. Have you noticed that when they get their medals, they get their medal draped around them, and then they hand them this little trophy thing? It's like a three-dimensional version of the rings, the five rings, and it was supposed to be this three-dimensional thing. They used to get a bouquet of flowers. I was not aware of this. This was a tradition, but they said, you know what happens? Those flowers die and they get thrown away. We wanted to give them something that will last, and so that's that little trophy that you see them getting on the podium. That's what that trophy is. They wanted to give them a trophy that would last. It'll last for a while in this world, but it doesn't last into eternity, does it? And that's why Paul, the writer of this verse, traveled the known world to preach the gospel, to share who this Jesus was that came to earth. God the Son came to earth, died for our sins, was buried, resurrected from the dead, went to the Father's right hand, made a way, defeated death, made a way for us to be restored to the Father. That's why he preached that. That's why he was beaten for his faith and his works. He was stoned. That's why he was whipped. That's why he was shipwrecked 3 times. Criticized, rejected, bless you. Threatened, imprisoned. That's why Paul did all those things, because he says, I'm doing this for a crown that will last forever. Now, we know that, we've heard enough preaching from me, that salvation is by grace through faith. It is by grace through faith and not of works, so that no one's going to be able to stand there and boast on that day, right? But Jesus and Paul, the Bible is quite clear that our life and deeds will be judged. And so, and that rewards would be given. And so we'll go and read this verse together, and this is where we're going to begin. So let's stand together as we dig into the Word. Let's read together. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Lord, just teach us, give us understanding of something that probably isn't often taught, but so important for us to learn, whether we are here as followers and believers in Christ, or maybe someone who has not yet made that decision for themselves. God, give us grace through your Spirit to understand. And thank you, Lord, for teaching us as you promised that you would, Holy Spirit. Bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Be seated. So this verse talks about we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who's the we he's talking about? Who did Paul write his letters to all the time? Yeah, the believers, the church, whether it was a specific one or a more general letter to a person, he was writing to believers. He said, we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. So, what is this judgment seat of Christ? It is referred to, there's two different judgment thrones, or so to speak, that are talked about in Scripture. This one is the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema seat. Bema is the word that is used for, it actually literally means step. It is a raised place, a raised platform. And in that day of Jesus, it was where the magistrate might sit above everybody else and proclaim his judgments as he presided over a trial or something. Jesus stood at that when he was being tried before the Jews and with Pontius Pilate. And Pilate was on the Bema, or judgment seat. But it also came from the ancient Olympics, because at the time when they would have races, you know what they didn't have back then? Well, they had finish lines, but they didn't have electronic eyes and cameras and pressure point things to find out exactly who was first. They had to have the judge that sat on the Bema seat, the judgment seat, to see who crossed the line first. So it had those same connotations of somebody that looked down and judged, and that also would give out rewards for who was the winner of the race. Well, this Bema seat, this judgment seat of Christ, is where the acts and the motives of believers, those that are followers of Christ, will be judged, and where rewards will be given based upon the quality of our work. Now, this throws people sometimes, because what did I just quote in Ephesians 2:8-9? It is by what? Grace, God's unmerited favor that we're saved. Through faith, through our faith in him, not of works. Right? We're not judged by works. Two different judgments here. Our salvation is decided based upon what Christ did on the cross. Let's go to that next graphic. And this is where we have to learn to differentiate what our works are, where our works are done. There was a time when this was me. I was a good guy. I was a nice person back in my younger years. I still lived for myself, and I still had a sin problem. But I was nice about it when I did it. Okay. And I tried to be good, because I was hoping if I just did enough good things, then I would be on God's good side, and I would have enough more good than bad, and God would say, okay, you've done enough good things, you've earned my love, you've earned my favor and forgiveness. And that's how I lived my life. I still had a sin nature, and I still did things selfishly, but I did it in moderation so that I didn't make God too mad. Anybody Was anybody in that place in their life? Or maybe you are now. You look at God, it's kind of he just kind of weighs it out. And if you're good, then you go to heaven. That was me until I found out that I had a sin problem. When I recognized that my sin separated me from God and that I was lost and spiritually dead in my sins without putting my faith and trust in Christ and his work on the cross rather than my good works, it was at that point that I said, okay, my good works, they don't earn me points with God. Because mixed in with my good works is my sin, right? My trust is in the grace of God. I'm going to have faith in what Jesus did for me on the cross. And I was saved at that point in time when I trusted Christ. My sins were cleansed and they were washed away and I became a new creation. Now I'm saved. I don't need to bother doing good works anymore, right? Somebody answer me. Thank you. Tell me I'm wrong. Now more than ever, I want to do good works. But I do them because of what Jesus did for me, not because of the forgiveness that I found in Christ, not so that I could get forgiveness. My good works were no longer to earn God's forgiveness and love. My good works were because of God's forgiveness and love. Do you see the difference? People have struggled with works and whether or not they're needed and important. And yeah, they're important to God. They are important. Because Scripture says that we've all sinned. Okay, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all need saving, right? The problem is for those, if we go to the next one, John, those that never deal with their own sin issues. They refuse to confess their need for a Savior. I got this. I don't need to say I'm going to give you my life, Jesus. I don't need to say I need a Savior. I'm good. And that was me for a long time. I could fix this myself just by doing enough good things. But the problem is when we try to fix ourselves with good works, guess what's mixed in with them? Our sin. Our sin is mixed in with it. And this is where we can explain the difference between the two different judgments. Those that refuse to receive the gift that God gave through his son Jesus, a Savior to die in your place, to take the punishment for your sins, that gift that he offered to you, those that say, nope, I don't want to have to go that way. I'm just going to take care of it myself. We're left in our sins. And those are the ones that end up at the great white throne judgment. And that's the judgment at the end of all things, when all those who have made their choice about Jesus reap the consequences of eternal separation and punishment. And that's a real thing. Scripture talks about that. And that's a hard thing to preach about because nobody likes to hear that bad news, right? But isn't it wonderful that there's good news? You don't have to go to the great white throne judgment. Praise God. We have grace available to us so that when our sins, we can't get rid of them. I can't do anything about fixing my sins. But they get put on the cross. I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but he lives in me. Grace covers my sins simply by my believing, by my faith in him. And I am transferred into a new kingdom. I become a new creation, and I become a part of the kingdom of God. I become a part of the family of God. I become his child. Scripture says that those who believed him, those who received him, that those who believed on his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's what Jesus said. And because of that, I'm in a new kingdom, and now the judgment that I face is the Bema judgment, where I stand before God and I'm rewarded for all that I did for him. Do you see the difference? The believers have a judgment of their works, and we have the, we will, as one of the verses we read beforehand, we will receive praise from God. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that, well done, my good and faithful servant, hearing that? I don't feel like I deserve it. But that's what he said I'm going to hear. That's awesome. Those that confess their sins, that know we can't fix ourselves, we put our faith in Jesus, we go from a destiny of the great white throne judgment to the destiny of the bema judgment seat of Christ, where we are rewarded for what we've done to serve him. So my question for you, and this is the vital thing, have you come to that place, this personal decision of saying, yep, I know which side of grace I stand on. Am I still struggling to try to earn God's favor? Am I still dealing with my sins on my own? Am I still trying to figure out a way to get by on getting to heaven without coming to the gift that God gave, the way that he gave for us to be saved? Or have you come to the place of saying, yep, God, you got me pegged. I'm screwed up. I'm selfish. I have a sin nature I can't fix. And you sent your son as a gift to die in my place, to take my sin upon you. And I'm done doing it myself. I've come to that place where I'm saying my faith is Jesus in you and you alone. And I'm on this side of grace. I'm in this side of the cross. There's no more important decision, no more important thing for you to look inward at yourself and say, did I make that personal decision? Or have I just kind of pushed it off? Or am I kind of riding on my parents' faith? Or is that I've always gone to church? I guess I've always believed. Have you come to the place of saying, no, I remember that time or that season in my life where God was getting a hold of my heart and I said, all right, God, I give up. I'm screwed up. Would you save me? Would you take me and thank you for dying for me? Everybody has a moment or a season in their life where you made that, you crossed over from one to the other. It does not happen. I think it happened like, no, it doesn't just happen without you knowing it. You will know when it happens. If you don't know when it happened, then you need to ask yourself, has it ever happened? God, have I really ever made that personal decision? And there really is, Jesus said, just one foundation. There's just one foundation on which we can build our lives, and that is Jesus Christ. I was supposed to read in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read that beginning verse there. I get focused and we're going to spend a lot more time on this next week. I'm in 1 Corinthians 3:10. All right, my eyeballs, here it is. No, I think it's 2 Corinthians, is it? Betcha. Well, I'm not sure which one it is. I'm just going to read what I have here. My apologies. But Jesus said, no one can lay a foundation, any other foundation, than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. No other foundation. And there's a lot of other foundations that you can have. And I'm just going to run through these real quick. There's a lot of other faith views and world views that you can have. But you know what? It's not like there's like dozens and dozens. Our choices are fairly limited. So where is your foundation? Is it in one of the major religions, Hinduism? where it believes in reincarnation. And guess what the idea of that is? You keep coming back and coming back, and if you've been good, you come back in a higher form, and if you're better that time, you come back in a higher form than that, and if you're not so good, then you come back in a lower form. It's all about what? Fixing ourselves, right? Buddhism is not too much different. It believes that we all come from this great presence that's out there, but you don't personally actually continue, but as you improve, you become part of a better part of this great consciousness. But again, it's all about you fix yourself, you improve yourself. Islam is another one. As long as you do the five pillars of Islam, you just got to make sure that you declare that God is one. You pray five times a day, you give to charity, you fast, and you go on the pilgrimage to Mecca. Then you're good. And again, it's somehow those things are going to help improve me, and I'm going to somehow fix myself and make myself presentable to God. Or there's the agnostic view. You don't really know who God is. So somehow I just need to be good enough that hopefully I'll be good enough to earn his blessing. But I don't really know because I don't believe that God can be known. So you just seek to improve yourself with the hopes of being right and doing enough. Again, it's our own improvement. Or the secular humanists that embraces human reason as the way of life, our ethics, social justice, philosophical naturalism, and they reject formal religion. They said, you know what? We and our own human reason and ethics improve ourselves year after year, generation after generation. And I look around and I think, is that working? We improve in some areas and then we go down the tubes in other areas. Or there's atheism. Or there is no God. You are just so many molecules and atoms, and when you stop living, you cease. And that's all there is. And so what are we left with? We try to improve the world around us because it's seems to be a good thing to do, but it really has no merit beyond that, and your idea of what an improvement is might be different from the next person's idea of what improvement is, so we're stuck with us trying to improve ourselves. Even a works Christianity is the same thing. We're still trying to earn God's favor and forgiveness, when in reality, God's loving plan was, and it's unique and different from every other world religion and faith, you can't fix yourself. That's why I loved you so much that I came and sent my son to fix you, to fix what you couldn't fix. And that's what he came to do. And that's his loving plan. And this is the different kind of gold that this message is talking about. God's grace, heaven, his rewards aren't for the best only. It's not only for those that get the gold. It's not only for the strongest. It's not only for the most skilled or the people with the best personalities. Isn't that good news? Because I don't rank myself up as the best or the fastest or the best personality or any of that stuff. I don't have to depend on self. In fact, there's no second or third place in Christ. The question is whether or not we're alive or dead, whether we're in Christ or in sin. What does God look for? What will he reward? First and foremost, humble faith. I need you. I need you. God rewards humble faith. He rewards a contrite heart that says, I'm broken. I've been wrong. I acknowledge it and I admit it. These are things that he rewards. God rewards us when we acknowledge our weakness, because when we are weak, He is strong. Exactly. Even children, He uses the example of children. We need to be willing to, it's that economy of God that just is opposite of the world, it's opposite of the Olympics. You don't have to be the one at the top to get the gold. The gold comes to those who humbly seek after and follow God. And when we do that, the gold is ours. The gold is a relationship with God. The gold is eternity with Christ. And as we'll talk about next week, the rewards that come for those who are willing to obey and follow God in this world. So my challenge to leave you with today is to settle who your foundation of faith is. Remember, Paul said, no one can lay a foundation other than the one that was already laid, and that is Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation. Oh, somebody got an Amber Alert. We need to pray for this. There's something going on in Port Huron. I'm not sure. We'll pray about that when we close here. Settle today. Side of the cross you're on. If you can't point back to that time, that season in your life where you say, "Yep, I can," I remember when I gave up and I said, "God, I would you forgive me? Would you give me life? Would you change me? Would you help me? I need your forgiveness. I need what you did for me on the cross." If you can't point back to that point in time, then make it today. Make today the day when you say, "I'm not going to wonder anymore. I'm not going to wonder anymore. Today I'm going to know," because the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. Did you know that? You don't have to wonder like I did for the first 25 years of my life. I guess I'm okay with God. That was kind of a wild weekend. I'm probably not in such good shape with God anymore. You don't have to wonder that. Scripture says, believe on Him. Put your faith in Christ and follow Him as your Savior and your Lord, and you never have to wonder again. So if you can't look back on that day, there is a day coming, and I want you to be on this side. I want every one of us here to be looking forward to with excitement to that judgment seat of Christ, because it's going to be an awesome, wonderful time. We're going to talk specifically about that next week and all the ways that God rewards and what He rewards. And so we have that clear in our hearts and our minds. There's that day that Scripture also talks about it as a coming home, or the banquet, the marriage banquet of the Lamb, right? Where will we be able to see Him and hear Him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." How awesome that is going to be for all the trials, all the hard slugging through of life and trying to be faithful. It will be worth it someday. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Father, thank you so much that you made this available to every one of us here, Lord. Whether we are someone who has life by the tail and everything goes great for us. We got all the talents and gifts and personality and money and life's great. Or we're the ones that just struggle and life presents to us troubles and struggles and trials. And Lord, you've said this gold, my reward, a relationship with me is available to anyone. To everyone, thank you for making it so clear and simple. I pray, Father, that if there are just one or two here that never really made that decision, but are saying, today, I want to settle it. Jesus, today, my faith is in you, and thank you. I want you to thank you for dying for my sins. I want your grace to cover my sins and wash them away. Today, I want to be settle it with you that I'm your follower. Thank you, Lord God, for making it that easy. And I just want to ask, and this is a step of faith, if this is you, and you're saying, today is my day that I'm gonna settle this, and I'm gonna call myself, I am now a follower of Christ, and my sins are forgiven, make it your day. I just want to see you raise your hand and say, yeah, today, that was my decision. It's not something I was sure of. Yes, thank you. Thank you. But today, I want to determine. Today is, I'm putting my faith in Christ and not in myself anymore. If this is you, just, and this is between me and you and God, I just want to be able to pray for you. Just raise your hand and say, yep, God, that's me. Yep. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Father God, for just making your grace so rich and so free and yet so transformative and life-changing. Bless, Father, these that have raised their hands. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that as they walk from this place, they can have that peace that passes understanding that says, I don't worry about this anymore. What Jesus did for me is done, and I am his, and he is mine. And my life is now full of good works, not to earn his love anymore, but because of his love for me. So thank you, Lord, for helping them to have that new understanding, that new life. Bless us as we go, Father. May we take that picture in our mind of the cross and our works. And Lord, if you would help us to use that to teach somebody else, give them this picture and be able to ask, where are you? Lord, that you might use us to have that spiritual conversation with somebody. Such a simple picture, but so profound. Use it, Lord God, as we minister to the people around us. Well, thank you, Father, for your blessing as we go today. And we're grateful for your love, grateful for the cross. And all of this we're praising you for in Jesus' name. And amen. And amen. And if you raised your hand, I want you to just, if you come and see me or fill out a connections card and give it to me or drop it in the connections box, but I want to follow up with you about your faith, okay? Okay.